Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou, ko Julie Ferry, tuku ingoa, ko puki tāpapa, puki wiwi, te maunga, ko te aonga, te awa, ko manukau, te whanga. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name is Julie Ferry. I'm the Deputy Chair of the Puki Tāpapa Local Board, one of five Roskill Community Voice Reps on that board of Auckland Council, and part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau. I have a monthly spot on Red Alert Radio, and I'm really keen to get your feedback. You can find me pretty easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Julie Ferry. That's spelled F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. We also now have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. Search for Red Alert Radio AKL and you should find us. We'll be putting up links to the podcasts once they're up online, as well as other bits of useful news relevant to the show. Now, regular listeners will be familiar with the approach of my sessions. I've been exploring the value that a left progressive approach can bring to local government and to our communities. For me, the left progressive approach is in stark contrast to the small c conservative approach that held sway in my area, in Mount Roskill, and most of the old Auckland City area for many decades. We often had artificially low rates, resulting in neglected infrastructure investment. Meagre council resources weren't used as effectively as they could be to help and build our community. Progressives aim to work with residents and local groups to get better results for our area than any of us can achieve on our own. So in examining the value that a left progressive approach brings to local government each month, I'm aiming to talk to a guest who has innovative and interesting ideas about how to make local government better, more relevant to people and more useful too. Last time I talked to Lotu Fuli, Chair of the Otara Papatoetoe Local Board, particularly about their efforts to involve their highly Polynesian neighbourhoods. You can hear that interview and others online at planetaudio.org.nz. Look for Red Alert Radio under R in the programmes list. This time, my guest is Josephine Bartley, Chair of the Maunga Kiakia Tāmaki Local Board. Jo has been on the local board since 2010 and became Chair last year. She is elected on the Labour ticket in the Tāmaki subdivision. Jo has a background in consumer affairs and law with a focus on Pacifica community engagement, both in a former role with the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment and her current other job with the Red Cross. Thanks for joining us today, Jo. Great to have you on the show. First up, why did you originally stand for local government? What motivated you to put yourself forward, first for the Labour ticket and then for your community?
Thank you, Julie, and talofa to all your listeners out there. Kia ora, and just thank you for the opportunity to speak today. What motivated me was I moved into the Tāmaki area in 2006, and I saw that there were a large number of diverse communities there, a large number of Pacific Island communities, but no one was on the decision-making bodies for that area. So I stood for local government and I stood under the Labour ticket because I am a firm believer in the collective and looking after each other. And for me, Labour was something that I'd grown up with in Māngere under David Longhi as our MP. And that was the influence I had as a young child and that stayed with me through till now. So those were my reasons.
Great. And you've had the experience now of being a board member for 6 years and then now becoming the chair. How do you find that? What are the differences for you from being a common garden local board member to now leading the board?
I think as a local board member, you can get caught up in your own issues that you're quite passionate about. And you tend to spark up when it's something that you're really interested in. And if I'm being honest, I struggle with roads and maps. So that kind of thing, it took a lot of effort for me to try and figure out the impact certain roading projects would have in our community. So I would spark up over things like alcohol issues, safety issues, youth, community involvement. And now as the chair, you can't pick and choose what you spark up about. You've got to spark up about everything. And actually, it is really exciting, everything that's happening in the community. So I think everyone should have a go as chair, because it only empowers them and brings them alive as a board member.
Great. So does that mean you're intending to share the chair?
Oh, yes, we are sharing the chair.
Yep. And so that means, for listeners, what does that mean?
So that means in our area, in Tamaki, we are 50% Pacific, 27% Māori. So myself, being Samoan, and Chris McQuarrie, he's Māori, we are sharing the chair role,
yep,
as a way of trying to get our communities to see that local government isn't such a scary thing, because they can see their own faces leading local government in our area. And we're hoping that by doing that, that will bring them into local government, into engaging with our processes, you know, the planning and everything that we do. So I do the first 18 months and Chris will take over the next 18 months.
Okay, that's I know a number of other local boards have done that too, and it's a really interesting way to share the leadership role and also to share the workload, because have you noticed that it is a much bigger workload as the chair from when you were a local board member?
It is way more than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And it consumes my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that was my experience too, which is one of the reasons I'm very pleased to be deputy this term instead of the full chair. And much respect to Harry Doig, who does that work on my board. Now, a lot of your background work, and you've mentioned this already, shows that you have a lot of passion and interest in getting Pacifica communities in particular involved in decision making. And so I wondered, how do you bring that passion and those skills and ideas to your council role?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm lucky, because in 1999 I joined a Pacific women's group called Pacifica, and it was established in 1976. And the head of that group was Patty Walker, who was the first Pacific Island woman Auckland City Councillor.
Right, wow.
Yeah.
Inspirational figure for you?
Absolutely, definitely. And so what Pacifica was all about was Pacific Island women advancing in New Zealand society.
Yeah.
So better participation in everything in your community. And so the big push for us as Pacific women was to get on boards of trustees, just right, to start off in the schools. And then from there, it was encouraging our women to step forward to bigger things and more wider involvement in your community. So local government was always raised, and we have several Pacific women in local government throughout the country.
Yep.
So for me, with being the chair, it's just an extension of encouraging Pacific women or Pacific people just to go that one step further than the boards of trustees or the church committees, because they already have the skills.
Absolutely.
So it's just applying it on a bigger scale with a bigger budget in local government. So it's bit by bit how we're trying to bring our diverse communities into local government events, and we go out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there a particular example in terms of, I know you're consulting on your local board plan at the moment, is there a particular example that might be useful for listeners to understand around what going out to your community actually means?
Yes, it means a 5-hour church service on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So sitting through, when you get invited to a church service, you go, you respect how they do things. And, it's a real honour when they do open up their normal schedule to allow you to speak. So it's going to the settings where our communities are comfortable and operate anyway. So it's also going to events, supporting the groups when they do hold something or a meeting and they want a representative from the board. So it's really, it's just responding to requests from the community. But I give you one example where our Pacific community in Tamaki have sparked up and got involved.
Yeah.
And that's with the Point England Enabling Development Bill. So our community, our Pacific community, are normally quite quiet.
Yeah.
But they play Kilikiti on that sports field.
Right.
That's being, you know, earmarked for housing. And that is the first time I've seen our Pacific community speak at a public meeting.
Yeah.
And it was a really horrible public meeting. You get some really nasty comments coming from certain groups that were quite anti-Māori. And it wasn't even about that. It was about the fields.
Yeah.
And so the Pacific representatives got up and spoke, and they said, look, you know, we sympathise with our Māori colleagues, our Māori cousins, but we've been playing Kilikiti on that field for the last 35 years. And, we want to continue playing on that field.
Yeah.
So that was an example where it's brought our Pacific community forward.
And we have a strong Pacific community in my community as well, mostly Samoan and Tongan. And I've noticed that too, that there is a sort of sitting back. And we recently had our some parts of our Pacific community really spark up. I like that way of describing it, sparking up, because that's just perfect, about the proposal to take the name of Wesley away from the community, the suburb that many of them live in. And that was fantastic to have we had a public meeting in the area, and most of the people who came were from the Pacific community, and a lot of them did have something to say, which was just, you know, so encouraging to see that happening. And then, you know, a lot of them formed a group to continue working on the issue. And as it happened, we won really quickly. Mm-hmm. So, but hopefully those kinds of experiences. And you mentioned boards of trustees as well. Have you been on a board of trustees?
No, I've never been on board of trustees. I am... was on the church committee, so yep. I went that way.
Yeah, and it is. I've been encouraging a lot of women in particular to consider running for boards of trustees, because it is a really good introduction, and they often do have the skills. You know, if you're talking about negotiation, for example, what do you think you're doing with your kids and your partner and, you know, your family members when you're working out where to go on holiday, or whether we're going to this kid's sports game, or we're going to the other kid's birthday party they've been invited to. You know, all of that is negotiation skill, and that sort of, you know, planning for the future a lot of the time that you're doing in your household. Yeah, so that's great to hear that's something that you've picked up on and have been encouraging people around.
Yes, for sure. You know, I dealt with loan sharks and car dealers every day when I was working at Consumer Affairs. So I picked up negotiation skills, but those are nothing compared to trying to deal with my 4-year-old and 2-year-old niece and nephew.
Yeah.
Because that takes a lot of skill.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And often a lot of repeat conversations.
Yeah.
Which you know, a lot of the work in our communities is repeat conversations, sometimes with the same person, sometimes with different people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good to get that acknowledgement of those transferable skills, as they call it, in human resources land. So is there any particular advice you'd give to Pacifica women thinking about how to change their community? You've mentioned Board of Trustees and church committees is a good way to do it. What about if they're thinking about running for council?
I always encourage people to stand for council, to stand for central government, because there's enough haters out there, and there's enough people, you know, that will try and put you off for a number of reasons. And really, you've just got to believe in yourself and put yourself forward. Otherwise, you'll never get anywhere. If you listen to all the noise around you, just do it. Just believe in yourself, put yourself forward, and go for it.
And have you, one thing I've noticed in asking women to stand is that often they will think of reasons why they can't, whereas men will just sort of go, oh, yeah, okay. And they won't, you know, for example, I've had women say, oh, but I might want to have a baby, I might want to travel, I'm not sure what's happening with my career, we might be moving. Whereas for men, it's often, oh, well, I'll try it, and if something goes wrong or something changes, then I'll worry about that later. Is that something you've noticed in the Pacific community when you're talking to Pacifica women about running?
For sure, definitely. And not just running, but about anything they want to do in their life, and it's always everybody else first.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's awesome, because, you know, we're women, we're about nurturing others and putting others, you know, before ourselves sometimes, but actually You know, we can't survive like that. We have to think of ourselves and put ourselves forward. Otherwise, you know, there will be ways where you will know that you're not putting yourself forward. And, you know, I went through my own health scare.
Yeah.
And I was looking after a lot of our youth, disengaged, you know, youth at risk, whatever people call them. So I was looking after quite a few of them. And then, you know, I had these issues with my with like these precancerous cells in my womb, and so I really had to stop and just check my life and, you know, put everything else aside and just focus on myself for a while. So, you know, I get it that we want to do our best, and, you know, with Psalm 1 we have this saying, you know, the path to leadership, ole ala, ole pule, ole tautua, the path to leadership is through service. And, you know, we're always about service to others.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but in the context of making sure you're okay first.
Yeah. Yeah, that put your own oxygen mask on first message.
Definitely. Yeah.
So you've mentioned already the contentious issue around the treaty settlement using council land in Point England. And I know that you've had some other major central government sort of projects in a way kind of done to your community, thinking about the Tāmaki regeneration and now the East-West Link. How do you see the relationship for the local board with central government? Do you feel like they kind of get it? Because local boards are quite a, you know, still relatively young, only 7 years old, and quite a new concept and different from community boards and old ideas of council. How have you found those interactions with central government?
They don't get it. I think they're too focused on Wellington and Parliament and the Beehive and whatever, that they don't look outside. No, tunnel vision, that's what they got, tunnel vision. They don't recognise the role that local boards play and that we are the governors for that area. That's I'm constantly having to say, that's our patch, that's our role, and you're stepping on our toes. But, you know, they don't get it. I mean, Nick Smith is constantly going on about the cows at Point England. But it's not just the cows. You know, the cows are in one part, but the fields are on the other. And if they bothered to talk to the community in the first place, they would know that. So I think it's a lot of arrogance on the part of central government, thinking that, you know, everything is run out of Wellington. And that's the whole ivory tower issue with central government. Not realising that actually local boards govern that area. That's our patch. We say what goes there.
There's a certain irony there in that the current national government were the architects of Rodney Hyde, were the architects and voted for the legislation that put Auckland Council in the current form it's in, including local boards. And yet there seems to be a lack of understanding that local boards are more than community boards. We don't recommend, we actually make decisions.
Yeah, and that's throughout. That's, you know, a lot of people do not understand local boards. And I think it's got something to do with the name. Because when you say, oh, yeah, I'm the chair of the local board, they go, oh, which board?
Yeah.
Which board? And I said, so I have to say council to set the context so they understand.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I could be any board. I could be the board of the playground on the street, you know, they don't get it.
I've often found if I say board, people assume I'm on a board of trustees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for a school, not. And I am actually on two other trust boards, so it's. But they're not school boards. So yeah, board is can be quite a confusing term. How do you feel that the community in your area recognise the role of the board? Do you think they get it?
No. They think we're MPs.
Right.
So they don't get it. They know that there's some importance attached to what we're doing because they see the billboards.
Right.
And they see that we're in an election. You know, they can see our names there. But I don't think they quite get that it's a local board, it's an Auckland Council thing. They're not quite sure. And that's not their fault. That's just there's a greater need for more education and promotion about what local boards do.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. So thinking about your time on the board, coming up 7 years soon, sorry, the local board, what's been your favourite project that you've worked on so far?
My favourite project has been our water-sensitive design, well, water-sensitive project in schools.
Right.
Because it's working with the kids. It's connecting the kids with Auckland Council, with the environment, and the Roots Collective. So it's something fun, you know, that they can relate to, but they also get the education of water recycling and the damage to the environment and our local waterways by what you put down drains.
So what does that look like? If I were to go along to one of those sessions, what would I see?
You would see kids in our schools, DSR1 schools, recycling water. So building or making out of plastic bottles these kind of things to turn dirty water into clear water.
So filters.
Yeah, filters. That's yeah. It. Yeah. You'd see some plants, so hanging plants, and then these half-cut plastic bottles with water dripping through them. And then you'd see a water tank. You'd see a little garden that the kids have planted, a blessing of the garden, and the kids all taking ownership of this garden. But I like it because it gets the kids into science.
Yeah.
And I love calling them future, you know, little scientists and
great.
Little leaders. So I like it because it breaks the mold of our kids just being sports players.
Yep.
And musicians and artists. And no offence to those professions, but, you know, quite often Pacific people get tagged as being in one of those areas.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not. You know, I can't sing. I can dance, but, you know, I can't draw.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that I'm, you know, involved in other areas, and there's so much more to our kids than certain boxes that people tend to put them in.
I think there's also that, you know, there's that expectation that cultural understandings, for example, of water are not true science, and actually when you're exposing kids to these understandings of water, then their cultural understanding, you know, they'll go home, they'll talk to their community, they'll talk, you know, might talk to some other people at church, and then those cultural understandings of water start to sort of filter in, if you like, to that scientific understanding. And actually a lot of cultural understandings are based on science and experiences of observing, say, the water. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about recently is that in many Pacific Islands, the experience of you don't swim in the sea, you wade. And Pākehā New Zealanders, we tend to think of, you know, Pacific Islanders, well, of course they can all swim because they live on islands.
Yeah.
But actually the culture there is to wade in water, in seawater, and swim in a pool. And so there's not necessarily that experience of swimming in the ocean or the sea, which is quite a different experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. So if you could change one thing about your local board area just by clicking your fingers in an instant, what would that be?
I'd have a youth support service in Tamaki.
Yeah.
In Glen Innes or Pāmuia. That's what I'd have there. We've got an awesome music and arts centre.
Yes, you do.
Awesome, awesome te oro. That's music and arts. It's about our kids, you know, in the future, using their skills and talents and channeling it through music and arts.
Yeah.
Those that are inclined that way, awesome. But I can see we have a lot of kids that are not in school,
yeah.
That are not doing anything productive, really, and are not getting the support that they need, not from their families, not from the school, not from anybody. And so I think as a progressive, that's where I see a role for local government, even though some people may not see it. But you know, I think local government, we're about our area and we're about everything that happens in our area. And that includes things where we will need to work with central government on.
Absolutely.
To address. So, yeah, I would love to see more support for our youth. And how we do it in the context of local government is we have a youth. Everything we do is actually targeted towards young people.
Yeah.
Events. You know, what our libraries are doing, what our Pāmuia Hall is doing, it's all about the kids. So, yeah, but I'd like to see a youth support service.
And so I think, do you have a youth caucus or a youth voice group in your area?
We had a youth panel.
Yeah.
Made up of these awesome kids that are in school, that are doing really well. And they were really keen to get into this space as well. And what we've got now is we're looking at what works, or we're being directed by what the youth want to see.
Yeah, we're going through a similar process in our area as well. It's a time of renewal for the youth voice groups and the regional youth panel after the end of last term when they were all disestablished. Yeah. So what about Auckland Council? If you could change anything about Auckland Council in an instant, what would that be?
You know, I am coming up against a lot of thinking that the governing body are higher than the local board.
Yeah.
A lot of that. And I shouldn't have to be trying to, you know, get legal advice from Auckland Council about the role of the local board and the role of Pānuku development in a transformation project in our area. It should be clear cut that the local board are the local governors of that area. So they should be directing whatever happens in their area. Even within council, we're seen as a community board.
Yeah, so we've certainly had a similar experience with Pānuku in regard to, Auckland Council Property Limited, which was the predecessor of Pānuku, in regard to Three Kings and some of the issues around there. A lot of tension about where governing body had the decision-making power and where we had the decision-making power. And, we dragged on for a really long time, involved lots of lawyers, yeah. And in the end, we actually lost that portion of that fight. We've won the overall battle, okay. But we did lose that portion of the fight. And part of it was because it actually wasn't very well defined in the table of powers. So for listeners, there's this table, it's hidden away somewhere in the long-term plan that has on one side this is what local boards are responsible for, and on the other side this is what governing body is responsible for in terms of decision making. And on the left it says, for local boards it says things like we are responsible for the running of a particular library, but the governing body is responsible for the library network and the books and stuff because they are part of a regional network and collection. And so those kinds of tensions are being tested more and more as time goes by.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I think if there was one thing I would change, it would be giving the local boards more power in the area.
And I think there is some hope there because that is being looked at in the governance framework review too. And so do you see, as someone from the Labor side of things, do you see that sort of as being kind of a centre-left thing, that we most centre-left people are looking for more power for local boards?
I don't think so because... I think all local boards would want more power, regardless of their political affiliation.
Might be something we can all agree on.
Yeah, I think so, because, we all agree on it in our local board, and we have a 3-4 split with 4 Labor, 3 Auckland Future.
Yeah.
And, they're supportive of the call for more power as well.
That's great. Good to hear. And just quickly, what are you looking forward to most over the next year?
What am I looking forward to the most over the next year? I'm looking forward to seeing my board members, take pride in something that they're really passionate about and go all the way with it and have community backing them. I'm really excited to see that, and I'm already starting to see what my board members are interested in and passionate about. And, yeah, they're just going to get so much out of being on the board if they can really get their teeth into something.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe. Really appreciate you coming in and having the kōrero. Hope we can check back on you in a year or two and see how you're going, see if you look back fondly on your time as chair from the other side. Thanks for listening, folks, and love to hear your feedback via Twitter or Facebook. A reminder, you can listen again to this interview or any of the back catalogue by visiting the Planet FM website, planetaudio.org.nz. This has been Julie Ferry for Red Alert Radio. Ka kite anō.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.